Hello, Columbus. Hello, Chattahoochee Valley. All my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope that you guys are doing well today. I hope that everyone is blessed out there and making sure that we are staying safe. COVID-19 is still in our vicinity, and it's in our vicinity strong. So we got to make sure as a people that we are doing what we can to stay healthy, to make sure our relatives remain healthy, especially our seniors. So young folks, we got to do our part. If you're going to be all up in aid and standing up on the chairs and stuff, make sure you are clean and clear before you show back up at grandmother's house. It's just that simple. We can't tell you what to do, but we can ask you to be respectful of others. And that's simply all we're saying. It's not just about us as individuals. It's about everybody in our vicinity. You guys, we are also still in the peak of hurricane season. As a matter of fact, we just had the climatological peak day, which was September the 10th today, as a matter of fact. This past Thursday, as a matter of fact, was the peak of hurricane season. But just because we have passed the peak doesn't mean that it's automatically just drops off like a cliff and go away. Just like we wind up, we got to wind down. And right now, there are a lot of storms out there in the Gulf and in the Atlantic Ocean that we need to be watching, because many of them will be threatening us here at the United States, on the mainland and some of the island countries where many of our relatives are serving in our military, in some of those locations. So certainly let's be mindful of that. And we are also getting very close to starting the early voting. So we want you, all of you guys, to be mindful. You got to start getting that vote in as soon as possible. As a matter of fact, if I am not mistaken, early voting starts October the 12th at the Citizen Service Center. So this Saturday, you can start. Well, yesterday you could have started voting early. So you, I don't think they're going to have Sunday voting, but certainly if you missed it Saturday, Monday, you can now officially go down to the Citizen Service Center and cast your vote. Early voting is from October the 12th to October the 30th. And also keep in mind, to help deal with the overflow, there will be voting at the Trade Center downtown, on Front Avenue, 801 Front Avenue. Almost everybody's been downtown to the Trade Center for some kind of event or some kind of chicken dinner where we done put our suits on and got all spiffy and bougie and went down there for something to eat. October the 26th through the 30th, you can vote at the Trade Center early. So let's keep that in mind. And please, you're not going to see this on any of our election material, but I am personally saying to you, if you have not mailed in your ballot, if you're doing absentee ballot by mail, if you have not mailed it in by October October the 12th is the beginning of early voting. That's about a month from today. Lord, I'm trying to push the elections all the way up, Jesus. Just bear with me this, today, y'all. I'm looking at the calendar. I'm so ready to get Donald Trump out of there. I'm jumping a whole month, y'all. I done forgot all about the rest of September. I'm trying to push us on into October. Early vote begins October the 12th. Let's make sure that is clear. How about this? Dr. Owley and Walter Taylor, I'm finna start this whole show over, okay? So I don't even want to mess that up. So you give me 1 second, because I had that pushed us all the way to October, Jesus. Lord have mercy. Just bear with me here. Michael Sol, I'm starting over. So when you get to edit this is gonna be the beginning of the show right here. 3, 2, 1. Hello, Columbus. Hello, Chattahoochee Valley. All my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. This is Teddy Reese with Sunday Conversations with Teddy Reese. Today is Sunday, September the 13th. Just want to remind you, we are still in the peak of the hurricane season, and there are a few storms out there in the Atlantic right now. So please just make sure that we're keeping our eyes on that. Also, the COVID-19 numbers are still running high in our area. Wear your mask, please. Wash your hands, please. Make sure you're not a part of large gatherings. And if you are, let's keep our seniors in mind. Don't go visiting grandma on Sunday if you know you've been partying all night Saturday downtown with no mask on or anything else. Let's not do that to our seniors, okay? Let's make sure we're protecting them while they're working hard to protect themselves. So we also just want to keep that in mind. Early voting starts October the 12th, you guys. So we are officially 30 days away from the beginning of early voting here in Columbus, Georgia, in the entire state of Georgia. So early voting will be October the 12th through October the 30th. And we'll be talking more about that as we get closer to it. We are still in the period of the census. You have until the 30th of September to fill out your census. It's very quick. You can do it online. It doesn't take a long time. So please, let's get our census filled out so we can be counted. It matters from the perspective of congressional lines. Money's coming back to our area for roads, for bridges, for schools, for a lot of different things. It matters. It matters, okay? So please, please, please make sure that you get your census done and that you're prepared to vote. And as we get closer to voting, I will talk to you about some important days. I just want to say hello. I had a good conversation this past week with a great friend of mine who used to work in the Obama administration. He worked with the USDA, and he was talking about Miss Bonnie Stewart and the Stewart family here in Columbus, Georgia. So I told him I would say hello to the Stewart family. Such an amazing family here in Columbus. Thank you guys for what you do. Thank you, Miss Bonnie Stewart. Amazing Albany State alumni. Go Rams. Go ASU. We love you. And you guys, let's keep pushing. Keep pushing, because I promise you, the things that we're dealing with right now as a country, the things that we're dealing with as a community, you know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning, and morning will be coming very soon. And to help us with that, I wanted to utilize today's show to bring on a couple of professionals. Yes, we're having a professional show today. You're going to have three doctors talking on Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. And we're going to talk about something that is a taboo subject in our community, and that is mental health. Too often we look past that and we don't really focus on that in our community. But right now, with so much going on with COVID-19, with people being confined to places for long periods of time, with frustration and aggravation running at an all-time high with a lot of people, with some folks, you know, losing family members, and some with family members that are still in the hospital and fighting for their lives. So many folks on emotional roller coasters. There's just so much going on right now that from a mental health perspective, we have to make sure that we all are in the right place. Let me share something with you that you may not have known. The strongest person can have a mental breakdown. So don't think when we say mental health issues, we're talking about folks that must have been born with something wacky in their brain that prevents them from thinking like the plausible person. That would be a wrong assumption. So much can happen to people, and things can happen that make people snap. Have you ever heard of the defense, a temporary insanity, a crime of passion? Someone comes in on a cheating spouse and utilize actions to harm the other two people. That's a crime of passion. Some people use that as a defense. I wasn't in my right mind. We're talking about mental issues. There are things happening right now in our society that are pushing people on the brink. And I wanted to have this conversation today with two doctors in our community that are already out there working hard in our community. These two people, you know who they are, because they show up and they show out, and they're not there for the recognition. They're there for the people. I am honored to have with me today to talk about mental issues in our community, Dr. Delta Outley. And also we have with us Dr. Walter Taylor. And I guess I can rightfully say Pastor Delta Outley and Pastor Walter Taylor. But I'm going to focus on the doctor part today, you two. Certainly not a slight or anything towards, you know, your religious calling and what you do for the Lord. But he's blessed you with an academic knowledge that I want you to bless other people with today as we're talking about this subject. How are y'all doing today? How you doing, Dr. Outley?
Really well. Thank you for asking, Teddy.
Amazing. Amazing. And how are you doing, Dr. Taylor?
I am navigating through these uncharted waters the best I can, sir.
And I totally understand that. And I appreciate you, Dr. Taylor, for being able to be here with us today. Just like a true soldier, you answered the call in the midst of your own challenges. I think those that are friends with you on social media and those that are friends with you personally that you converse with know that right now your mother is in the fight for her life. And we're praying that everything continues to go well. But when I ask you about the potential of coming on, having this conversation about mental health and maintaining your mental stability during challenging times, like the true soldier and community leader that you are, you didn't hesitate. You said, yes, these are times. There are people out there going through more than what I'm going through right now that are not as equipped as I am to handle this. So I know that we must have this conversation. So thank you. So I just want to open up with you by first asking, how are you doing? And how are you working personally through the fact of the condition that your mother is in, and how are you working through that as an individual?
Well, first, let me say thank you for inviting me to come on the show. It is an absolute honor to be amongst such great minds. I think for myself, these are some of the most challenging times that I have ever found myself facing. And it is a challenge every day finding the means to navigate through the uncertainties that are before us. My mother is right now in the fight of her life, and the thing that is most disturbing to me, and as you were alluding to in your opening, is that most often during this pandemic, there have been those who have recklessly went about not protecting themselves and become asymptomatic carriers of this virus and have spread it to so many others. Mm-hmm. And my mother has contracted this not a result of her own negligence, but as a result of the negligence of others, and is now in the fight of her life. And so I find myself having to attempt to revisit a lot of the textbook material that I learned in college. I'm finding myself having to revisit some of the many sermons that I have preached throughout the years. I find myself having to find coping mechanisms to help me during these challenging times, because it's a fight. It's a fight when a person that you love is affected and their health may or may not be able to fight off this virus. It's a challenge when the economy is in such a downward spiral that it's not certain whether your 401k will survive or if your job will be there tomorrow. Mm. It's a fight when we have children going back to school and into classrooms that are not prepared to protect them from this virus. Mm-hmm. It's a fight when it is that we are living in a day and an hour in a country where it is that our commander-in-chief did not prepare us for what was coming before us. And so, Teddy, it's a fight right now, and it's a challenge, and I wish I could say that I'm handling it well, but what I've come to understand that even the strongest of us get weak at times.
That's right.
But even in the weakness, I've learned that even a broken crayon still has power to color. And
know,
so even in my brokenness,
right.
I'm still attempting to color within the lines that God has given me.
Reminds me, my grandma used to say, even a broken clock is right twice a day. So, you know, that's what she used to say sometimes about things, you know. But, and Pastor, Dr. Taylor, because you and I are very close friends, I understand the extent of our friendship. And yes, we talk about the community quite often, you and I and some other African-American gentlemen leaders in our community that of our brotherhood, you know, that works to fight for our community together. We've talked about the community quite often, and you and I have even had conversations about you. But the day that you text me and said, you know, pray for your mother, and you were so concerned, and I could read it in that text message, I knew it was at a different level. How important is it that those that are going through things reach out to other people to have conversations with them? How important is that to their sanity?
It's very important, because in the fight in which we're facing, the opponent in which that we are faced with, you can't fight this alone. Every person needs someone that they can go to and talk to and allow them to vent, allow them to cry, allow them to get it out, allow them to most of all be human, without any judgment, without any recourse, but to help, allow them to navigate through this. Because I think what makes all of this so much of a challenge on both sides of this coin, the person who is in the hospital dealing with COVID, or the family member who's outside of the hospital with everything that is happening in this pandemic, it's bringing about an isolation. So we have family members who are having to suffer alone, and we're having to have families who are suffering because they can't be there for their loved one. And so it's important that we find support groups. It's important that we find friends that we can talk to, that we can communicate with, that can advocate to us, but also advocate for us. Because one of the things that I've learned, even in my personal experience, that when your emotions are all over the place, sometimes you need someone in your life that can say, hey, listen, don't make a long-term decision in mm-hmm. this temporary moment.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. that has been the great asset that I can say that I have had with friends like you and others, and Dr. Outley, that I can call you guys and I can share with you my frustration, my pain, and you hear me, and then you come back and say, but I want you to think about this when you cool down. Those are the types of people that we need in moments like this.
Wow. 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 It's good to hear that. And of course, because you are my friend, I was going to reply. And I, not once did I personally think about, you know, the mental health side of having someone to talk to. But you know, now that we're having this conversation, you know, I'm thankful that God put me in a position to be there to say to you as a brother, as another black man, you know, let's just keep praying. And everything's in God's hand. But if you need me, you know that I'm here. And Dr. Outley, that reminds me of a situation just this past week. Many of my radio listeners know that I'm an attorney by trade. I practice law, and I represent a company here in Columbus. And we had a situation that brought us to court. Griffin and Griffin Towing. And we had a situation that brought them to court with the young lady. And what we discovered was that she was disabled. She was getting a disability check. She had some side, she was trying to do like little odd jobs to help her, because her little $803 a month don't get her far. And she just did not have the money to pay to get her car, which had been towed, because it broke down on her in the middle of the street. And the only thing she knew to do was to walk home. And so Griffin and Griffin during this time told her, we will zero out your account. I will cover all your expenses because I know what's going on right now. Dr. Ali, you do so much in our community. You talk to so many families. You touch so many families. A lot of mothers out here that are raising children by themselves, and a lot of fathers in single parent households as well. It's difficult right now. It's economically difficult, as Dr. Taylor said. And it's challenging because, you know, we still have incidents of black men just being, you know, brutalized in the street. What can you say to many of our mothers that are out there right now, struggling right now and trying to hold it together, but feel like they are right there on the edge from a mental health perspective, from a mental capability perspective? What can you say to them right now?
What I would say to a single parent at this time is keep pushing. Dr. Taylor has really been very transparent in what he and his family is dealing with. But the other side of the coin is that there's a lot of single parents that don't pull on or seek the resources that's available. Then the other challenge is that they don't have the mode of transportation. So I believe that we should probably think about some type of strategy to get the resources to the people that need it the most. But as a single parent, that's a hard thing. I was raised by a single mom that worked as a CNA for over 30 years, never missed a day's work, and just kept pushing until things got better. And it takes a village. It takes family support, church support, girlfriends and family members to pull together to assist our single parents. So I'm a testimony that if your parents keep pushing, it will get better, but you got to continue to push and fight the good fight of faith and pull on the resources that's available and make those smartphones work for you. Look for, seek good resources to help you through tough times like these. So that's my, in the mental side of it, find somebody to talk to and stop saying that everybody is crazy. We all have suffered clinical depression, anxiety disorder, bipolar disorder, but there are people like Dr. Taylor and myself and others in the community that look like us that you can reach out to, and we'll be there to navigate you through some tough times. So that's what I'll speak to, is the key coaching situation in our lives.
And you know, Dr. Ali, that I saw a statistic too. I can't remember. It may have been Pew Institute. But I saw a statistic recently that stated that domestic violence issues are up 40% right now. And many women are afraid to leave their current situation because of the economic uncertainty. Many of them are afraid to leave because it's hard to find somewhere else to go. And who wants to leave a roof over their head in the middle of a pandemic? You know, that's a challenge within itself. But the mental damage that is happening to these individuals that are forced to stay in these rough domestic situations is only leading to more and more long-term damage. What message can we say to someone who may find themselves in a domestic violence type situation that could be impacting them mentally, especially during this time of the pandemic?
Again, we have to pull on the resources that's available in domestic violence, and because emotions are all over the place and people don't know where to turn. There's unresolved grief issues that's going on, child abuse. But to speak to domestic violence that is on the rise and increase, to seek the resources that's available. Now, as a pastor, this is one thing that I've learned not to say to folk, is that leave them or get out the situation if I don't have any resources or a better alternate to offer people that's going to leave a shelter. Where would you go? It seems easy on the other side of the fence, but when you got four children or three children, you just tell an individual up and leave, that's not good wisdom during these times, because where would they go? So we have to make these resources available. We have to be more visual in our community and put our resources together. We may have to put a family in a hotel for a week or two to get them out of that domestic violence situation. So we got to use what we have in our hands and not wait for a handout, but we be the hands that God used to help people that's in domestic violence situations.
Absolutely. Well, wow. I mean, man, this is such a topic that we need to discuss, so much to cover. But I tell you, time is flying when you're really talking about things that you need to discuss. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. Then we'll be right back. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I have with me Dr. Delta Outley and Dr. Walter Taylor. We're talking about mental health challenges, especially during the midst of a pandemic. So join us when we come back. Thank you. Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I'm glad to have with me today Dr. Walter Taylor and as well as Dr. Delta Outley, and I could easily say Pastor Walter Taylor and Pastor Delta Outley. And I just want to thank you guys for taking time out of your day to be here with us. You know, Pastor Outley, I want to go to an incident that recently happened. And Pastor Taylor, I'm going to give you an opportunity to chime in on this, too. And many people in this city know that there was a young black man that went into a auto parts store here in Columbus, Georgia, and randomly stabbed a white employee in the neck. And he supposedly told law enforcement that he did that because he had recently watched a lot of videos of police brutality to black people. And so many news outlets here in the area, you know, some reporters that are well known here locally for trying to entice situations and really push a situation where it's happening, when it's happening to people of color, really pushed that story out their heart. A lot of people knew about it. But what nobody didn't expect was the later twist that came about when, while in custody in the Muskogee County Jail, this same individual who had a white guy in his cell with him, somehow he murdered or killed the white guy. And there's so many people asking, what was he doing in that same room and the same cell with a white gentleman if he had just randomly stabbed one in a crime in which he admitted, supposedly, that he did it because he's infuriated with the way that black men are being treated by law enforcement? You know, this sounds like to me a case of a mental health issue that should have been caught, or if you will, designated at the point in which that individual entered the jail. Am I missing something here, Dr. Owley?
Oh, no, you're not missing it at all, Teddy. And the community ought to be in a way of outrage as to not being able to observe as a professional, as a law enforcement, to arrest and to contain a gentleman in the system. He should have been at least given some type of evaluation. It should have been something put in place to isolate him from possibly doing harm to somebody else. So the system failed again by not doing their due diligence and doing an evaluation and placing this gentleman in a isolated situation. So the county jail just didn't do their job to be able to see this as a mental illness, a mental health issue from the front side. And so, there's a problem there. And something should have been done on the front end to make sure that no one else is harmed by this gentleman that had apparently mental issues going on with him.
And you know, Dr. Taylor, you know, I've gone on the record many times, and I will go on the record again stating my belief that mental health is a part of overall health. And I think that overall health is a fundamental right. And I think everyone should have equal and unfettered access to health care, to health facilities, to health professionals that can help them with their health needs. It's a basic right. And that includes the mental health aspect of it as well. And it's certainly more relevant when you're talking about government entities. If you're going to take someone in custody, you have a responsibility to make sure that those individuals are protected. Those that have committed a crime, and well, all of them are in there for committing crimes. Everyone. No one should be given less protection because now they're under the under the custody of the law for doing a crime. But what infuriates me the most, Dr. Taylor, are those that are trying to use this incident to try to use that as somehow some type of debunk to Black Lives Matter, or the fact that black men are still being slaughtered by law enforcement officials. And I said a couple shows ago, before anybody jumped into conclusions about my opinions, I love law enforcement officials. I have relatives that are law enforcement officials. So don't run out there talking about Teddy Reese's anti-law enforcement, because I'm not. Check the archives. You will hear it. I've been saying it for a while. And Dr. Owley, Dr. Taylor, I want to thank you two so much for your time today. When I have an opportunity to converse with the both of you, it's just always an amazing opportunity because you're so full of knowledge and so full of wealth, but you're far removed, not far removed from the realities of what goes on the ground. And that's part of our problem now. We have too many talking, but too many folks don't even know what's going on because they haven't spent the time in the streets. We know that you guys have. And I just want to thank you again. Yes. Any words you want to leave us with before we wrap up the show for tonight?
I want to personally thank you for calling me and having me to be a part of the show, which is dear to my heart. It is a passion of mine. We must address mental illness as never before. 2020, mental illness is one of the leading illnesses in our country, even globally. So we got to do something to bring some help and solution to people in general. So I'm grateful that you thought it not robbery to include me in such an awesome conversation with Dr. Taylor and yourself. So I'm grateful that you reached out to me as well. And you keep up the good work as well, because you're true to the cause, and I'm appreciative of our relationship as well. So thank you so very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Dr. Taylor?
Yes, sir. Again, like Dr. Outley just alluded to, that mental health is certainly at one of its peak in a very long time. The CDC reported in August that when they ran statistics for the month of June, there was a 40% increase amongst U.S. adults reporting that they were struggling with mental health or substance abuse. And of that 40%, 11% of that were experiencing suicidal ideologies. So mm-hmm. that in itself tells us that we are in a serious crisis. And I just want to give you this number. If you find yourself facing some mental health crisis and you just need someone to talk to, I want to give you the mental health crisis number. And it's 1-800-273-8255. I'll repeat that. It's 1-800-273-8255. They have crisis intervention counselors on the line 24 hours a day. It's totally free. We live in a technological era, so it's a smart, if you got a smartphone, the only thing you have to do is text 741-741, and a crisis counselor will call you back. It's important. Every life is important. Every life is valuable, and no life should be taken for granted.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Dr. Taylor, for sharing that information. And again, thank you, too, for being here with us today. I really wish we could continue this conversation, but I know we got to cut it short. Michael Soul looking at me like, Teddy, cut it off. So, but this has been wonderful information, because there are so many people that are truly suffering in our community. And we need you to know there are folks, we are here to help. There are people that want all of us to get through this as well as we possibly can. I've said before, things will not look the same on the other side of this pandemic like it did when we started it. But what we have when we get to the other side will be enough for us to continue to move, continue to prosper, especially when you think about what our people have been through, those that were shackled to the bottom of the boats and brought across those seas here to America, those that had to labor in the fields in the hot sun during the summertime, had never heard of AC, picking cotton to make somebody else wealthy. Our folks have been through so much. A little virus is not going to stop us. So I just want to thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you for inspiring me, both of you, whenever I need to call somebody and get that inspiration to move on and keep going, because we all got to stay in the fight and keep it moving. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Fill out your census, go vote, make sure you vote this year, and let's make some change in America. Have a good day.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns, or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.